Okay, we're holding five lines from the bottom of the narrow lines on Hafez Amud Beis. The line begins with Harata. About 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Okay, we left off yesterday that still discussing this business about how you matter neder, whether you can use a Pesach, whether you can use Harata, what kind of Pesach, what kind of Harata. The last thing we said was, Rava said in the name of Rabbi Nachman, you can in fact use Harata, just the fact that the person says, I regret that I ever made the neder in the first place. And you can even just talk in the Kei Yisrael, that even if somebody has used the name of Hashem in a Shavua, you can be mastered that as well. Even though we said before, we brought yesterday that Rav Asi had said you don't, or the Ran talked about maybe he means only the Hatchila you shouldn't, but you can. Okay, so further on the... Yeah, well, again, as we said yesterday, I mean, the Goyim were machmer on this kind of thing, and so in practice it really depends on the circumstances. The Gemara tells the story. Mishtabach le Rava le Rav Nachman ve Rav Schoira de Adam Gadol. Rava used to boast to Rav Nachman about Rav Schoira that he's an Adam Gadol. He's a great person. What was he boasting? The Shittim HaKabetis explains he was boasting that such a great person as Rav Schoira lives in my city. Okay. Amalei, so Rav Nachman tells him, fine. Kshiyavi le Yadcha habiyeh le Yadi. Next time you meet him, next time you have a chance to bring it, next time you have a chance to see him, bring him to me. Let me meet him. Havelin Nidra L'Mishra. So when Rav Schoira one time came to visit Rav Nachman, he had a neder that he had made. He had to be Matir Neder. Also, a Kameder Rav Nachman. So he came to Rav Nachman to be Matir Neder. Omalei and Rav Nachman asked him, Nadarta Adaita Dehachi. Did you, when you made the neder, did you have such and such in mind? He tried to find him a certain consequence of it as a Pesach, like we talked about yesterday. Omalei Ein. He said, yes, I did have that in mind. Adaita Dehachi. Okay, how about this? This possible consequence, and yes, Kamazimnim. This happened several times. Now, why didn't he just use Harata? We've spoken before. Rav Nachman said you can use Harata. The Ran gives two reasons. Number one, he may have realized that Rav Safra is not the kind of person who's going to get away with Harata, given that we had a machlokes whether you can use Harata or not, and Rava vouched for Rav Schoira after all these in Adam Gadol, so he's not going to just try to get away with a Harata, which is something which is controversial. He's definitely going to want to look for a Pesach. Anyway, he lived in Rava's city. That was there. Yeah, why he came to Rav Nachman? Because for one thing, because we're going to talk about later on, the Ran talks about who can be Matir Neder, that you need a Yochid Mumcha. So okay, mumcha doesn't necessarily mean that you need smicha. Neither Rava nor Rav Nachman had smicha. But basically, among the things the Ran talks about is when you have a great chacham in the city, you shouldn't just have other people be matir neder. So maybe the idea was that it's not in the same city necessarily. Rava and Rav Nachman lived in different cities, lechora. But the idea still may have been that when Rav Nachman is around, it's not right for Rava, who belongs to the next generation, who's a Talmud to Rav Nachman, to be matir neder when Rav Nachman is available. Whatever it is. Anyway, so this happened several times. So the first answer was that he knew that Rav Schoira is not going to use a Harata. The other possibility is this may have been a neder for a mitzvah. For example, to fast, to do a certain number of fasts. Now, suppose Rav Schoira had already done some of those fasts. One drawback of Harata in that case is Harata, we said, means that you're mischar to begin with, retroactively, that you wish you had never made the neder. Well, in that case, that's like Torah al-Rishonis. That's like regretting that you never did the mitzvah, and you lose the reward for that mitzvah. Right. Rav Schoira wouldn't have wanted that. Mashenkin, you find a Pesach. Okay, did you know, for example, when you took on the series of fasts, did you realize that one of the days, let's say, is going to come out on Rishonis or something? Not that good that was, because Rav Schoira wouldn't have said yes. But you get the idea. The Pesach doesn't necessarily have to mean that you lose the credit for the ones you already did. Anyway, so this happened several times. Ikbar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman got upset at him. Amalei tells him, Zil Lekilach. Go, essentially, Zil Lekilach means like something like, go to your room. He's upset at Rav Schoira that we learned yesterday that it's not really such a good thing to make a neder. And if you do, rather than fulfilling it, you should try to be Matir Neder. Here, Rav Schoira is blocking every possibility that he's trying to get to be Matir Neder. So he tells him, the Ran says, Lakiloch means for the entrance of your house, Akilo de Beresh Galusa. Other Mephoroshim talk about, the Rosh talks about over here that it may mean the place where you're staying. Whatever it is, the point is he's telling him, like, go away, Nothing Rav Schoira, so Rav Schoira left, and then he was able to find a Pesach for himself. Namely, We learn in the Mishnah and Tikkun.
You
can find a Pesach for yourself, but then wait. We'll talk about it in a minute. Let's finish. We learn in Pirkei Avos, Rebbe Yomer, Ezui Derech Yishara Sheyover Le'adam, what's the straight way that a person should choose for himself, Kol Sheyiferes Le'iseha, something which is beautiful for him himself, the good thing, it itself is a good thing to do, V'tiferes Le'min Adam, and it's also beautiful by other people, that other people praise you for it. Now, in this case, it wasn't. It was Tiferes for him, but it wasn't Tiferes for Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman got upset at him. So he said to himself, "Ahashtid ikved of Nachman." So now that Rav Nachman got upset at me, adaited dehochi le'nadri. That I didn't make the neder, knowing that Rav Nachman is going to get angry and that I'm going to say I'm making the neder anyway. So that itself is a pesach. Now it's not. Now again, we talked about yesterday, and we'll talk about more in the Gemara today about the concept of noilad. You can't use noilad as a pesach like something that happened that couldn't reasonably have been expected. In this case, though, the Ran says it actually could have been expected. You can expect that a great Talmid Chacham like Rav Nachman is going to be upset at somebody who makes such a strong neder that we're having all those consequences in mind. So yes, the fact that Rav Nachman got upset is sort of an expectable consequence. But Rav Chaya hadn't thought of it at the time. Therefore, Rishadol Anapshe, and therefore he was master himself. Now, what do we mean master himself? The Ran says it doesn't actually mean he was master himself. It means that he took this Pesach to another Rav Nachman or to some other Rav or whatever, and was mastered on that basis. The Rashba actually says that no, it may actually mean that he was able to be master himself. You can't be master yourself based on Charata, but the Rashba wants to say that you can be master, that a Talmid Chacham at least can be master for himself based on a Pesach that he found. In this case, he found a valid Pesach, so maybe he could be master it himself. Lo Yakov Dvari, he can't be Meichel, but that would be Charata, not Pesach. That would be only Charata, according to the Rashba, yeah.
The Ran says you can or you cannot.
The Ran says you can't. The Ran says even with a Pesach, you still need another person. You still need Mumcha or Svi Hedger. The Rashba wants to say that with a Pesach you can. Some other examples. Rav Shimon v'Rebbe Havel and Nidra l'Mishur. Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, one time had a neder that he needed Atara Sadarim. Also Kamayu de Rabbanon. So he came to the Rabbanon to be Matur Neder. Amri Leh, and they said to him, again, similarly, they asked him, did you think of this consequence, this possible Pesach, when you made the neder? Amr Ein, yeah. Adaita Dehochi, Ein. So another one, yeah. Kamazim, and again, this happened many times. V'habu mitstari Rabbanon, mishimsha l'tolo, mitolo l'shimsha. The Rabbanon were having trouble that they were going back and forth from the sun to the shade, and from the shade to the sun. So what does that mean? Rashi says over here, actually here it's not Rashi anymore, these couple of blots, actually it says on the side on the previous Amud that's Rabbeinu Gershom, or whatever, it's printed where Rashi usually is, that the Rabbanan were so upset that they couldn't think of any possible Pesach, that they're like going back and forth between the sun and the shade, like they couldn't find a place to sit and relax because they were so upset about the matter. Marsha explains it differently. He says that they had buildings in those times where one half of the building was roofed, so you'd sit there when it's hot, and you have another part that didn't have a roof, so you'd sit there in warmer weather, so like or when the sun is shining versus the sun is high or low in the sky. So like a whole day they're sitting in the sunny part. Then it gets later in the day and the sun is beating down, so they move to the shaded part. Then they're moving back and forth. They're taking a whole day over it and they still can't find anything. The Shitta Mukabetta says that actually, in a way, that the fact that they couldn't find anything, that was actually part of their plan. They wanted that itself should be able to serve as a Pesach. And it worked.
Really?
We'll skip the couple of lines here in parenthesis because actually this belongs a little bit further. Finally, Amalei Botnis Breda Abba Sholben Botnis. Finally, Botnis, the son of Abba Sholben Botnis, says to Rav Shimon Berebi, Mina Darta Adaitid Messiah Rabbanon Matula Lashimshko Mashimsha Latula. Did you, when you made the neder, did you think of this consequence that the Rabbanon are going to be in such a tizzy over it to try and be master you? Amalei Vishayua, and then they were able to be master on that basis. So that itself formed the Pesach. That's what the Shittim Kabetzes is saying, that they davka made it, that they couldn't find anything else, and so they're getting up and sitting down and getting up and sitting down in order that eventually that can be used as a Pesach. No, but again, it's not noilad because it can be expected that if the Chachamim can't find something, that they're going to be fartiffing this and it and trying to go back and forth and here, yeah. Incidentally, by the way, I mean it's worth mentioning. The Rambam actually discusses in Hilchos Nedarim. The Rambam does not seem to draw the distinction between Noilud and not, and the Ravid argues with the Rambam on that. The what the Rambam says over there is essentially that you can't use Noilud if it's a Pesach that somebody else has to find for you, like the Chachamim have to find for you a Pesach, they can't use Noilud. But if you're finding your own Pesach, it could even be Noilud. Apparently not. You see, in these cases, they're not. Another example, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi havelin nidra l'mishra. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi one time had a neder that he needed ataras nedarim. Also, the kamei adarabanan, so he came to the chachamim. Amrulei, and again, they asked him, nadarta adaita tahachi, did you have such and such in mind when you made the neder? Amrulu ein, nadarta adaita tahachi, amrulu ein, kamazimnin. This happened several times, and here's where the part in parenthesis, here's where the part in parenthesis from before goes, that again, they're going back and forth from the sun to the shade and the shade to the sun. Then there was a certain laundryman there who saw that the Rabbanan are having all this trouble. They're going back and forth from the sun to the shade, and they still can't find anything. He hit Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi with Uchla de Katsri. Uchla de Katsri, there's a couple of different possibilities that Mephoshim explain what it is exactly, but it's some kind of utensil. Rashi over here defines it as like a basket. That they put the clothes in after they've washed them. I guess like they didn't have dryers in those days, so like they put the wet clothes in a basket and take them someplace to spread them out to dry. In various other places, Rashi talks about that it's like a sort of like an iron, like a piece of wood or metal or something that has a bunch of holes in it that you use it to sprinkle water on the clothes to be able to press them. Different possibility, whatever it is, it's one of the tools of his trade. So he hits Rabbi Shmuel with that. You're causing the Chachamim such trouble. Omar, so now Rabbi Shmuel said, I died for the Machi Lekatzra Lenadri. You know what? I did not have in mind when I made the nether that this laundryman is going to end up hitting me. Vishavya Lenapshe, and so he was master for himself. Again, either that it means that now the Chachamim had a basis for to be master him, even though they couldn't think of one before, or maybe that even he was able to be master himself. So, Amalei Rav Acha midif to the Ravina. What do you mean, hai noilad? Shouldn't that be a case of noilad? You couldn't reasonably have expected that this laundryman is going to be there and hit you with this utensil. Vitanena, and we learn later on in the Masechta, ain't poskim leb noilad, that Beis Din cannot use noilad as a basis as a Pesach. Amalei, the Ravina answers him, actually, hi lav noilad, this is actually not considered a case of noilad. Dishchichi apikuri dimitzari rabbanan, because unfortunately you have a lot of apikurism out there who bother the chachamim. Like in this case, the fact that you have somebody who has a braid tight like that to go, the chutzpah like that, to go and hit Rabbi Shmuel with a laundry basket or whatever, unfortunately that kind of thing is common enough that you can't consider it noilad. There's a few different explanations that Mephoshim give on it. Actually, one of them, the Nemuka Yosef, says that it's actually meant, Afkuri over here doesn't mean in a derogatory sense as an Apikurus. It actually is sort of a complimentary sense. It means, like, this guy is willing to remasker himself, like, to do something that everybody would think that he's a Rosha for in order to prevent this Tzar of Chachamim having. Yes, he's hitting Rabbi Shmuel, but he's doing it in order to defend the other Chachamim. How you talking, you're causing them so much trouble. Kavod HaTorah, basically, yes. So in that sense, then, Afkuri is not really a derogatory thing, but a complimentary thing to him. Whatever it is, the idea is that the idea is it's not necessarily Nolad. Other Mepharshim talk about the idea that this guy may have had a habit in the past of hitting Chachamim. So yeah, here he's using an excuse that he's doing. He's using an excuse. How you talking to your Messiah to come to Chachamim? But really, he would have been doing it without that excuse also. So therefore, yeah, so it's not Nolad. Another example, Dvesu d'Abaya Havlahu Brasa, Abaya's wife had a daughter. Now, what does that mean? The L'chora means, and this is how most Mephoshim explain it, that she wasn't Abaya's daughter. We learned back in Yuvamis that Abaya was married to a woman who had previously been married twice. And in fact, later on, we learned the whole concept of kaplonis over there, that a woman who's had three husbands who died, there's actually some machlokas over there, where the two and then three, or three and then four, whatever it was, Abaya was her third husband, and he ended up dying. So, whatever it is, this daughter may have been from one of her previous marriages. Well, came time for Shaduchim. Hu amar l'krivoi, he says, I want her to marry one of my relatives. He amar l'kriva, she says, I want to make a shidduch with one of my relatives. Not the first time that a couple has an argument about this. Amalah, so Abaya says to her, Titzera hana osi aloch I abrita datoyu mincivis lolikribach. You should be also to have hana from me, from my possession, if you go against me and marry her off to your relative. Well, Azlot Vavrat Adaite, she went, she Taka ended up going against what he said, the Insvalikriva, and she went and married off the daughter to one of her relatives. Now he's in trouble. Also, like I made Rabbi Yosef, they come to Rabbi Yosef to be Matan Nedu. The pashtas, she was a naira. You're talking about as far as I guess she must have been a begaris already, because otherwise only her father could be makapa kedushin on her behalf. Yeah. Okay. That's true. Actually, it's not her father. Come to think of it, yeah. So then yeah. Right. But yeah, So it could have been she was a tana or a naira, and then it's only kedushin, and it's only kedushin dirabanan. No, the adopted father doesn't have that power. So also the commander of Yosef, Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef asks him, Ilu have a yadus to avrat al daita for mincev al kriva. If you had known when you made this neder that she would that she would go against what you say and marry her off to her relative, mi adarta, would you have made such a neder in the first place? Amalei, b'shaliyu Rabbi Yosef, and then Rabbi Yosef was master him on that basis. Which the question is, Mishori ki hai gavna, is such a thing allowed? I mean, how can you say you made a neder and then the very fact that the other person went against what you said, that itself should be a pesach for the neder? The answer is ain. Yes, v'chotanya, and indeed we learn in a braisa, ma'isa be'echad shehidir esishte milala seregel. There was a case of a man who put his wife under a neder that she should not be oyla l'regel. But also v'avral daite, but she went against what he said, v'olta l'regel, and she was oyla l'regel. Ubo lifnei Rabbi Yosi, and he came to Rabbi Yosi. Now, by the way, this makes for an interesting historical detail over here. Rabbi Yosi is one of the chaverim of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, that whole group over there. They were the talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, most of his career took place after the Churban. So that means Rabbi Yosi, we're talking, is 70 or 80 or 100 years or so after the Churban. What kind of aliyah l'regel? There is Maratz Chayes discusses, actually based on this Gemara, based on some Midrashim in various places, that yes, it may well be that after the Churban, people continue to be Oyla Regal. They can't maybe go, actually, they could even go into the Harabayis back in those days when they still had Parah Adrum Ashes. They could actually be Matahar themselves. They could actually go onto the Harabayis. There's a possibility, he discusses, they may have even brought Korbanos. The halacha is, as long as you know where the Mizbeach is supposed to be, you can bring Korbanos, even though the Bais Hamikdash itself is destroyed. They may have been able to do that. He brings, for example, back in Pesachim, we learned where it describes over there how Rav Gamliel one time says to his servant Tavi, go roast the Korban Pesach for us on a grill. Rav Gamliel, usually plain Rav Gamliel is Rav Gamliel Yavne, who was the Nasi only after the Korban. So what kind of Korban Pesach? There's one of the proofs that they may have brought Korbanos even after the Korban. Well, obviously, only in Yerushalayim is the only place you're allowed to, yeah. But so,
they probably knew whether you...
They would have known where the Mizbeach was, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, yeah. So there is that possibility. Having said that, though, there are other Mephoroshim who say it doesn't necessarily mean Aliyah L'Regel doesn't actually go into the Bais Hamikdash. It may have been. There still may have been some Jews managing to hang on in Yerushalayim over there. They were L'Regel there just to go like we do nowadays to the coastal or to the other walls of the Harabayis, maybe to hear Jerushas on the Halachas of Yom Tov, etc.
They could have rebuilt the
system. They could have, except as a practical matter, they weren't able to.
Because of the Romans,
yeah.
But the Romans had not.
So actually, the Medrash in Bereshit Rabbah tells the story that the Adrianus, when he first became emperor, later on he became a terrible son of Israel. But to begin with, he was friendly to the Jews, and he offered to let them rebuild the Bais Hamikdash. The Kustim and probably also the early Christians or whatever got into a whole old tizzy about it. So they wound up talking him out of it. He said, but I gave official permission. I can't rescind it. It would look really bad. They said, don't actually rescind it. Tell them you either have to build it someplace else or you have to make it 5 amas bigger or 5 amas smaller. And then automatically nothing will happen because they're not going to change the location of the
mill. They said you could build it somewhere else. I never knew that.
So this is the famous story that then the Jewish people were about to revolt against Hayitachan when they got this news. Hayitachan him that he should give us permission and then do such a sneaky thing. And Rabbi Yeshua talked him out of it with the famous marshal stork that sticks its neck into the lion's throat to get out the bone. Like, you know, we should consider ourselves lucky that we're tangling with the Romans and getting out safely. You know, don't go rebelling against them. Well, that was that. And afterwards in Israel, that was something else. That was really, really making Zeres against Bismillah and learning Torah and various other mitzvahs.
Oh, that's it.
Then, No. It's actually, he first made Zeres against Bismillah and a couple of other mitzvahs. Later on, then they revolted. After the revolt failed, after Beitar was destroyed, then he outlawed all mitzvahs. Then he outlawed all mitzvahs.
And he cut them out.
Yeah. No, that's when they plowed it up. Yeah, Nechushair. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. So the point is that there may have been a lula regal in Rabbi Yossi's time. So this person had made his wife under a neder that she's not allowed to be a lula regal. She did anyway. Ovalis near Rabbi Yossi. So he comes to Rabbi Yossi. Amalai, and Rabbi Yossi says to him, so if you had known that she's going to go against what you say and be Olo Lurego Klumi Darto, would you have made this neder in the first place? Amalai Loi says, no, be Tir Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi with Matu. So we see the same thing as Abaya with his wife. Now, so the Ran asks the question, how is that any different than the Nidre Zeruzin of our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we said that, for example, a person says a neder that I'm not going to sell this for less than a seller, and he winds up selling it for 3 dinarim. Then it's okay because l'chatchila the neder was not meant as a serious neder, but rather it was meant as like a bargaining chip. L'chora over here, it should be the same thing. And the Ran answer is the difference is that the reason why in the Mishnah it's not a neder, we said there, is because ain't piv v'liv shavit. Neither one of them really, when they said the words of the neder, really intended it seriously.
Yeah.
Here, l'chora, either one of them did. They did mean that if she goes against what I say, she taka should be also banah. Now that she actually did, then he regrets it. If I had taka known that she really will, then I wouldn't have made the neder in the first place. And then the Ran takes the time over here to discuss this point that we touched on before about who can be matir nedarim. You need a yachid mumcha. You need a single Talmud Chacham who is a mumcha, which actually says in Shulchan Aruch nowadays we don't have any such mumcha, any such expert. So our Talmud Yoram is always done by a panel of three.
Only when everybody can make it.
Or shloisha had yotis. Or where there's no mumcha, you can have shloisha had yotis. Three plain people. And he goes into a bit of a discussion what exactly a mumcha means for this purpose and what exactly the shloisha had yotis means. In particular, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is you have to have one person who's a mumcha in the sense he actually knows all the dinim of nedarim, and the two other people can be people who, if you teach them the halachas, they'll be able to understand them. So they may not have to know all the details, but they have to be people who would be capable of understanding it if they learned it in depth.
So today the mumcha could be not dining.
Yes, they can be. Yeah. So that's what we're saying. One of them has to be somebody who actually is familiar with the dinim, and also he's the only one who actually, you can have a case where the person is embarrassed to tell all of the three people what the neder was. You can have as long as one person among the dayanim knows what the actual neder was, then the other two can go along with that.
I was not sure. You mean the one we should
judge the car?
Is that neder or
not? The neder.
Yes.
Okay. אני חושב שכן, אבל זה לא ראוי לעשות כן. Continue the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, here's another example of Nidre Zeruzin. Also, you can have a case of a person who wants his friend to eat by him. Yermaloi, and so like he's pressuring Reuven wants Shimon to come eat by him, so he's pressuring Shimon to make a neder that I'll eat by you. So fine, Yermaloi, so Shimon can say, actually the word loy doesn't really belong here in the Mishnah, Shimon can say ahead of time, kol neder shani osid lider hu batel, any neder that I'm going to make is going to be batel. It's like a moedah. We talked about that before in connection with buying and selling, that you can declare before edim a moedah ahead of time that you're being mevatel the sale, and then you can use that as a basis in Beis Din. This is a similar idea. Uvovad shiye zocher b'shasa neder, as long as when you actually make the neder, you remember this tonight. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. So the point is, like this, Shimon ahead of... the Neder you could also say, but in this case, the point is that that Reuben is pressuring Shimon to say, fine, I'm making a Neder that I'll eat by you. That's not really the proper form of a Neder anyway. The proper form of a Neder was, such and such will be also to me if I don't eat by you.
If I make a Neder, I come through the city of Fukam.
That's Reuben makes a Neder?
What? Well, it could be. It could be. The other way it could be is that Reuben makes the neder and says, Shimon, you have to answer amen to it. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, there's a couple of different possibilities. Whatever it is, obviously at that point Shimon doesn't have the option to say bli neder. But what he can do is ahead of time he's made this my job that any neder that I'm going to make is going to be batel. And now when he makes the neder, then that's batel. Then that's batel based on that. Okay, so the Gemara says. Wait a minute, but how does that help? Practically speaking, how's that going to work? So what happens? The guy says, any neder that I make is going to be bottle. won't the other guy hear? And won't the other guy hear? And then how's he going to not come with him? Like this, if Shimon, even though, okay, we have the word loy in the Mishnah, yom loy, so okay, Agoyes Abach takes it out, but even if he doesn't actually say it to him, the Gemara's assumption is that we're talking that Shimon, the Muder, has made this declaration, maybe not directly to Reuben, but at least in some way that Reuben can hear about it, because otherwise how is Reuben going to know? Otherwise he's going to think that you're violating your neder. So then if Reuben hears about it, then how does that get him out of the situation? The answer is chesuri mechsuro. The Mishnah is actually missing words. V'hachi katani. What it means is like this. Number one, haroita sheyechal etz chaveroi u'masarav boy. So if somebody wants that his friend should eat by him, u'masarav boy, and he's insisting on him, u'madiroi, and he wants to make him take a neder to that effect. Then that's not a problem because Nidrei Zeruzin, because that's actually considered another example of Nidrei Zeruzin. So now we understand why our Mishnah began. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov had said, Ah, Haroi Salahadir Eskaveri. The way we learned the Mishnah, the Pashtus of the Mishnah, it had nothing to do with the previous case of Nidrei Zeruzin. Now we understand. This is another example of Nidrei Zeruzin. We can say that actually, let's go with the example where Reuven is the one who made the Neder and told Shimon, you have to answer Amen to it. Fine, but even so, the fact that he only meant it as a neder to be mizara the other guy, to encourage the other guy, come eat by me. Not that it was necessarily meant that he has pivalibe shoving. And therefore that neder is no neder in the first place. So he'll have said, for example, that there can be two possibilities really. One is he says a koinam that such and such will be also if you don't come and eat by me, and if you don't come and eat by me, and he answers amen. Or the other possibilities, he makes Shimon say make a neder that such and such will be also to you if you don't come eat by me. Whatever the case, the point is we consider it nidrei zeruzin. We don't consider it to be a full fledged neder because it's understood that when you make such a neder, it's not pivali b'shavin. It's meant as a bargaining chip, basically. Then number two, the Mishnah continues, and this is the part that's missing in the Mishnah. If a person wants that all his nedarim for the whole year long should not be niskayim, Yamed v'Rosh Hashanah, then he should stand up on Rosh Hashanah v'Yoymar. Kol neder shani osid lider yehei batel. Any neder that in the future I'm going to make should be batel. Uvilvad shehei zocha v'shasa neder. As long as he remembers the tznai at the time of the neder. So these couple of lines of Gemara over here are the basis for two famous minhagim that we have nowadays. Ataras nedarim on erev Rosh Hashanah. Not Rosh Hashanah itself. When it says here Yamed v'Rosh Hashanah, it can't mean Rosh Hashanah itself, because he can't be matir nedarim on Yom Tov. So it has to mean on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's not a malacha, but in general you don't do ma'ase beis din. Anything that involves a beis din, you don't do on Yom Tov. Shema Yavi Lichtav, whatever. So You're not matir. We learned at the end of Shabbos actually that you can be matir. You can be mefer nedarim on Shabbos where it's for tzara for Shabbos, where it's needed, for example, you made a neder that you're not going to have such enjoyment on Shabbos, and now it's going to interfere with your own of Shabbos, then that's different. But or in the case of a father or a husband who only has until the end of that day to be mefer it. Okay, that's tzara for Shabbos. But here we're not talking. It's not tzara for Yom Tov. So it means erev Rosh Hashanah actually. So, one second. First of all, some of them before should say that it doesn't necessarily have to be on Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh says it doesn't necessarily have to be on Rosh Hashanah. It could actually be any other time during the year. As a practical matter, when we're talking about a person is doing for a whole year, he's going to do it Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Shittim Mukabetis, on the other hand, brings an opinion from Nasan al HaKadosh. I don't know who that is, but I guess the name HaKadosh indicates that he was killed by Kadosh Hashem. He says that no, Davka Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah, being Yom Adin, is the time when a person is likely to be in this frame of mind that, yes, any nedarim that I make, I don't want to have the issur of unfulfilled nedarim on me, and therefore when I make this madar, I mean it sincerely. Mashenkin, any other time during the year, lav dafka. Okay. Anyway, so first of all, we get out of this Torah Sedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, where Torah Sedarim actually we have two parts in it. Number one is where you're actually doing the proper form of a Torah Sedarim, where you're actually coming in front of a Beis Din of three, you're actually omitting the 10 for various reasons, and you map to any Nedarim that you made. The only detail in it that's different than a regular Ataras and Donim is regular Ataras and Donim, you would tell them the actual neder and mention the Charotah or the Pesach. Here in Ataras and Donim, Rav Rosh Hashanah, what do we say that, you know, I should list them all, but Rav Mehem V'Yepshel Apartam, and I'm only asking Atara for the ones that it's possible to be master, so therefore just have those in mind. Number two, the second part of Ataras and Donim, on Rav Rosh Hashanah is the Madal that you make over here. Harani Moisa Madal of Necha, Vani Mavata Makana Labo, that's all Gemara over here. The other thing that comes out of this Gemara is...
It was for the future, even after
Rosh. That's what it is. From now onward, Kol Nedarim, B'chol Shavuot, B'Yisurim, etc., except for accepting a tainus on myself, and if I forget this Tanai and make a neder, then as of now, I'm saying that it should be bottled. Now, what do we mean, by the way? The Gemara said you have to remember what your Tanai is, the time of the neder, so we'll talk about that in a minute after we finish with the matter of Minhagim. The other thing we get out of this Gemara is called Nidre. So we've talked about at the beginning of the Masechta that the Gaonim took a dim view of Kol Nidre. They said you shouldn't be saying it, or it's a minig shtus, or whatever. But it became a scabble among the Jewish people. Rabbi Amram Gaon, for example, called it minig shtus. The old nusach of Kol Nidre actually was that you're actually being matir neder, that you're the lashon of kol nidre ve'esare or shvoy etc. Miyom kippurim she'ovar ad yom kippurim zeh. From last Yom Kippur until this one, I'm b'chulon ischarat nebahayin. I'm being mischarat in them, and I want them to be bottled. So it's hataras. So it's meant one second. So it was originally designed in the hataras nedarim. Now, that's based on our Gemara over here. Okay, our Gemara says Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos points out, we find a pasuk, Yom Kippur is also called Rosh Hashanah. We find a pasuk with the Nevuah of Yechezkel, the Nevuah about the third base of Mikdash, is dated by Rosh Hashanah ba'asa l'chodesh. And Rosh Hashanah on the 10th of the month, because that year was a Yovel year, and Yom Kippur of Yovel year is the effective beginning of the mitzvahs of Yovel. So we see that Yom Kippur can be called Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we're saying you stand up Yom Kippur at the beginning of Yom Kippur. Now, the problem with that, Rabbi Natam points out, Rabbi Natam has a long discussion about it in Tosfos, the problem with it is, okay, the reason the Gaonim took a dim view of it, etc., is because then people are going to get careless with Nedarim. The whole reason why they never learned Nedarim in the times of the Gaonim, etc. You don't want that people all year long have been making Nedarim and breaking them, and all of a sudden now they're coming to be Matir Neder Yom Kippur. It's not right. Rabbi Natam had a different problem with it. He said the problem is, what kind of Ataras Nedarim is this? You don't have a Beis Din of three. You're not mentioning the neder. You're not mentioning any Pesach or Charotah. How can that work as Ataras Nedarim? Okay, there are people who find for that maybe the whole tzibur is being matir for each other, etc. But on the basis of that, Rabbeinu Tam changed it. It's not referring to the nedarim of the past year that you want to be matir now. It's referring to the moedah that our Gemara is talking about that you're making for the coming year. So he changed it. Miyom Kippurim zeh, ad Yom Kippurim abal leinu l'toyva, which is how we say it. So now it's a moedah that you're saying anything, any nedarim that I make during this coming year, as of now, I want them to be bought. So it's not according to that. It's not really that. Taurus nedarim we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But this what we do now. So there are girsahot, there are nuschot where they actually say both miyem kippurim sha'abar ad yom kippurim zeh or miyem kippurim zeh ad yom kippurim havar leinu l'toyva. So that covers both last year's nedarim that I want to be matir and next year's that I want to make a maidan. But that's not the common nusach. And the Rabbi Yaakov Emden also points out that according to that you have a problem anyway with Rabbeinu Tam's change over there. Because all the other lashonis in there, diindauna, or diishtabano, or diacharimna, all that has a lashon avar. You're telling me that now it's referring to the future. If it moves to the future, then those are the wrong words. Di nadirno, diishtabino, whatever the lashon should be. Okay, some before we should talk about that. Maybe something that you're saying it in past tense, but you mean the future, like whatever. In the, when it comes to the point that I will have made such a neder, then I'm as of now I'm retroactive. Okay.
How would you say in the future?
So you would say instead of di indarno, you would say di nadirno. Di nadirno, that I will make a neder. Yeah. Okay. But all of that is based on this little piece of Gemara over here. Now, the question is, the Mishnah had said, Ravachi, hey, zocha b'shata neder, as long as you remember at the time of the neder, as long as you remember the tonight. Question is, Izochu, well, if you remember the tonight, after the tonight, Vakim Le Nidori, doesn't that mean that you're saying, forget about my tonight, I want this neder to be chal? Mele, if you forgot, the Gemara is assuming over here, Mele, if you forgot your tonight, later on you remember it, okay, I had that tonight, I didn't remember it right now, so I made the neder not remembering it, so now it's like, now the Pesach or the Charot that comes into play, fine, but if you actually remembered the tonight at the time, how does that help? Then it's counterproductive. Amar Abaya, Abaya says, you're right. Tony, you're right, you have to change the words of the Mishnah to say that as long as you don't remember at the time of the neder. Rava Omar, Rava says no, La'olam kidyamin and meikara. No, you could say like we said originally. So the Ran and most Meforshim explain, Rava is not actually arguing with Abaya per se. He agrees with Abaya that it has to be that you didn't remember something at the time of the neder. Just Rava is going to find a way to fit that into the words of the Mishnah of Avashi Ezocha B'Shata Neder. But he's not really substantively arguing with Abaya. He's just arguing on instead of having to change the wording of the Mishnah, we can find some way to find for the wording. And Tosfos Reed and a couple of other Rishonim talk about that maybe Rava is arguing with Abaya. Maybe he says that maybe he's saying that in fact the important thing is that you do remember something.
If the Rambam
takes a sort of interesting middle ground. The Rambam says on it that it can work if you didn't remember the Tanai at the time you made the neder and you remembered B'Sech
K'dedibur.
After Tosfos K'dedibur, it wouldn't help. Yeah. Okay.
That's
how the Rambam passes. I don't remember whether that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so Rava Amar La'olam Kedamin and Meikara. We could say, in fact, that it's like we said originally, as the wording of the Mishnah indicates, that as long as you remember the Tanai at the time of the Neder, Hachav Ma'askinen. But what are we talking about? Kohen Shehisna B'Rosh Hashanah. Suppose the person made this Tanai on Rosh Hashanah, or Erev Rosh Hashanah, or Erev Yom Kippur, whatever it is. V'lo Yodeh B'Ma'hisna. He doesn't know what Tanai he made. Namely, the kind of Tanai we make nowadays is a very generic one. Any neder that I'm going to make during the coming year, except for Nidre, Tainis, Mishas, Mincha, should be bottled. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Imagine, for example, a person could make this tonight, this moedah, let's say, that any neder that I make involving bread for this coming year will be bottled. So if I make a neder during this coming year that I won't drink wine or that I won't eat such and such fruit or whatever, then it'll be chal. But any neder on bread. So, and now he forgets what the tnai was, the hashtag for neder, so now he's making the neder. Therefore, izochu b'shata neder, so if he remembers the tnai at the time of the neder, v'omer al das v'shoinani neder, and he says, I'm making this neder having in mind the original das that I had at the time, nidre lesbe mamosha, then the neder has no mamoshas. Then the fact that he remembers that he knows there was a tanai, he just forgets whether the tanai involved bread or wine or something else, but the fact that he remembers that detail is enough to cancel his neder. The fact that you remember, not the detail, the generality that there was a tnai, which could apply to this situation, is enough. Because he's saying, al dasu shai, wait, well, he's making the neder, whatever. It could be, for example, that he's making the neder again because somebody's hassling him to make the neder, like we talked about before, or whatever, for whatever other reason. Loy omer al dasu.
He's angry and make a neder.
Yeah.
So he's making the
neder. Loy omer al dasu shona. He neder, whereas if he did not mention that I'm making the neder al dasu shona, he's not saying that I'm keeping in mind whatever the original tonight was. Then it amounts to saying that he wants to ignore his tonight and actually make the neder be in effect.
That would count also.
That's what we're saying. It would count. The fact is, again, he made tonight, for example, that any nedarim I make involving bread are going to be bottled. Now he's making a neder saying I won't eat this loaf of bread. Or this loaf of bread will be offered to me, rather, as a lashon of a neder. So what we're saying is, if he doesn't say that I'm keeping the original tanai in mind. I don't remember what the original tanai was, but if he doesn't even make the neder having in mind the tanai, then it means whatever the tanai was, I want to ignore it, and I want this neder to be a real neder. The tanai may have been on bread. Fine. Right now, I'm overriding that because I'm actually making a neder on bread.
Can't you consider the tanai a neder itself?
No, he didn't use a lashon of a neder when he made the tanai. Think of how we say in Netaras Adorim. Harin he moisim adar lefnechem, bani mivachem mekana labba, etc. There's no lashon of a neder there.
Meaning what? What was
a
neder?
It's just a statement. If it was a neder, he would say, konam such and such. If how could you do that? Follow me. A tanai couldn't even work as a neder. A neder has to be chal on something that has mamashos.
Every neder that you're going to do is going to be bottled.
Fine, and that's the way we do it nowadays. But we're talking about if you didn't. We're talking about a case where you make. Okay, but how would you make a tanai as a neder? A neder has to be on something tangible, as we've learned before. Okay, Majabon, maybe it can be on something intangible, whatever, but even that, a neder has to be on something that you do or that you don't do. Something that you're not going to do. Such and such is gonna be that I'm not gonna speak.
Not going to consider any neder that you do.
But that's not even a tangible thing. That's less even than saying a neder that I won't sleep. That wouldn't work as a neder. Okay. The bottom line then is that when given that you remember that there was a tnai, in order to be mivat to the neder, you should have to say al dasa rishonani neder, and there's also this idea of if you remember a seshkede neder. Also, by the way, the Ran points out that all of this is the Ran points out a couple of other things. First of all, does this whole din apply only to nedarim, or does it also apply to shavuos? So in our Tartus and Dorim of Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't mention Shavuos. We just go, Vanim of Apam Mekana Lab, Okal and Dorim, Bechol, actually we do. We say, Bechol and Dorim, Bechol, Shavuos, V'Yisurin, yeah. So we do mention Shavuos. So he brings over here, the Rambam himself mentions that there's a machloikas on this topic, whether it works for Shavuos or not. Obviously the fact that we say it in our Tartus and Dorim means that the poskim have decided according to the opinion it does. In Kol Nidre, also called Nidre V'Esari, Shavuos, etc., Nidranala Nidre V'Esari, V'Esari, U'Shavuasana Lo Shavuos. So we're including Shavuos as well. Number two, the Ran brings that. Number two, the Ran brings, all of this only applies if you're making the neder yourself, the neder or the shavua yourself. It doesn't work if somebody else makes you take a neder or take a shavua. Because then, if you're doing it on your own, then it's called, you can say you're doing it on your own das, and your own das includes that you made this tonight, to cancel in the first place. But if you're making a neder based on, or a shavua based on somebody else, like where somebody else is making the neder and you have to answer amen or whatever, you're not doing it all die. You're not doing it on your own das. You're doing it on his das, and he doesn't have your tanai in mind. For the same reason, we'll learn later on that when Beis Din makes a person take a shavua, they tell him you're not taking the shavua on your own das because your own das may include any kinds of majoris or anything like that. You're taking the shavua al datei nu so there's no wiggle room. It has to be people of Beshavin when he says Amen. Fine. I mean, you know, otherwise it would be Nidre Oinsin, which we'll talk about later in the paragraph. But okay. The Gemara tells, Rav Huna bar Chinina sabar l'midrashei b'pirka. Rav Huna bar Chinina thought to teach this din in the Pirka. The Pirka was like a public drasha that they were given those days. So he thought to this din that we said that the Mishnah is implying that you can stand up there Rosh Hashanah and make this tonight. And make this nice and mivato yunadorim for the future. He thought one time to give a public drasha about this Indian. Omele Rava, what are you talking about? Tana kamasatim leistumi. The Tana deliberately left it as an unclear thing. We have the chsuri mechsura, the word that the mission was missing. Kadesh la yinigu kalus rosh min adarim, precisely so that people are not knowing kalus rosh, so people aren't careless with adarim. You want to give it and you want to tell it over at a public drasha? Don't do that. Which, of course, brings the obvious question. Tosfos asks, so what about the fact that we say kol nidre? Right there in front of everybody, Barabim. Yeah. The answer, Tosfos says, very simple. What language is kol nidre in? It's in Aramaic. In those days, fine, everybody spoke Aramaic. Nowadays, nobody understands it. So therefore, it's not such an issue. When you say kol nidre in public, it doesn't make the average person realize, you know what, let's, we can be careless with the daughter. If they have a translation, they understand. Okay, but, you know, once, you know, like this, Also, Tosfos points out that you don't actually say in kol nidre that you're nidorim amutar. You don't say mutorim atem, so it's different. This, by the way, another thing to mention about kol nidre. By the way, this, originally kol nidre was meant to be matir nidorim.
Kol nidre is batul, or the nidre is mutar.
You can say either one, whatever. This, by the way, that we're saying that kol nidre to begin with started out as something to be matir neder for the previous year, so that you don't get so the person doesn't get punished by the Eibishter for violating the nedarim, or that we do it nowadays as a madar for the future. This is, by the way, why after kol nidre, because what's the next thing? V'nishlachol hadas b'nei Israel. That's the connection. That's the connection. Once we've asked the Eibishter, once we've either asked the Beis Din of Tzibur or whatever to be matir on nedarim previously, or we're making a madar that we shouldn't get in trouble in the future for violating on a nedarim, the Eibishter should forgive us for the nedarim that the nedarim that we may have broken. One other thing I wanted to. The Chassam Sofer, by the way, asked an interesting question. What does all this have to do with the topic of our Mishnah and our Perek? We're saying Chassurim Mechsura, the Mishnah was missing words. The Mishnah started off with a case where Reuben wants Shimon to eat by him and makes him take a neder, and then all of a sudden we're going off onto this business of making a Mordah ahead of time. What does one have to do with the other? Given that the Gemara said the first part of the Mishnah is just another example of Nidre Zeruzin, where no Mordah or anything is needed, then how does the second part about standing up there on Rosh Hashanah and making a Mordah, how does that fit with it? He says the connection is because why Bechlal on Nidre Zeruzin Mutter? Nidre Zeruzin and the various other kinds that we're going to talk about. We talked before about the idea that Piv V'Libre are not in sync, that you don't have intention for it to be a real neder. Well, what it amounts to, kind of, is the Chachamim put in an automatic Maidah for you. The Chachamim put in an automatic pre-declaration that this kind of neder, that Nidre Zeruzin, are not going to be Chal. So therefore, a natural segue to that is a case where a person actually makes an explicit Maidah like that on his own.
So that's the connection
between the first and the second half of the Mishnah. That's the connection between the first and the second half of the Mishnah, which we fill in with the Chassurim Mechsura, having discussed Nidre Zeruzin, which the reason why they're mutter is because of this implied Maidah, then now we talk about a more explicit Maidah, which when does the person do that? Rosh Hashanah. Either like the Rosh said, you could theoretically do it any time during the year, but we're assuming you do it Rosh Hashanah, or according to the Shittim Kubetis, you do it Davka Rosh Hashanah, because then you really sincerely mean it. Yeah.